IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Shooting Space, my podcast where I talk to some really, really awesome, talented people in the game of lacrosse, and we just go back and forth, talk about how they got into the game, their favorite aspects, the future that they see for the sport of women's lacrosse. I have a really special guest today. I have a special guest every day, but I feel like every time it's just even more special. It's just so fun. I have Kylie Ole-Miller here with me today, and I'm so pumped. This has been months in the making. Kylie is someone that I have looked up to as a fan of the game and as a player, just so dynamic, did amazing things at Stony Brook, playing and starting in all of her games for Stony Brook, and being a Touraton finalist, really setting an amazing tone for the program, putting them on the map alongside her sister and some other really great players. Kylie, thank you for being with me on the pod today. Go ahead and let the people know what's up.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me on the pod, Tari. I mean, this is so cool that you get to, you've done such amazing things for the platform of women's lacrosse in general, just through your social media, and I've always been a fan of yours, so it's really cool to hear that reciprocated. And I am super happy to be here talking a little bit about, you know, women's lacrosse, my favorite thing in the world.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. So let's get right into it. So, you know, when did you start playing the game? We were talking a little bit before I started recording about, you know, you're on Long Island, you're doing some really, really amazing work there, you know, doing clinics, partnering with other players, but what brought you into the game?
Yeah, so I've always been an athletic child. I grew up in a really athletic family. Both my parents were athletes. It's just myself and my younger sister, Taryn. So we, you know, we grew up just playing sports, trying different things. We played soccer, we played basketball, we swam at young ages, and I was just always outside playing sports, anything that I could. And I picked up a lacrosse stick in third grade for the first time. It was kind of when I realized that soccer might not be the best thing for me. I was realizing that in soccer, my favorite part was either playing goalie or throwing the ball in. Mm-hmm. So I knew I needed to do something with my hands. but I wasn't sure what that was yet. But yeah, the minute I picked up a lacrosse stick when I was 8 years old, I, you know, immediately fell in love with it. I thought it was the most incredible thing that you had this tool in your hand, that there was so much room for creativity. You could control the amount of creativity that you kind of gained,
right,
just by how much work you put in. And I loved that aspect of it. It kind of made me obsessed with, you know, keeping the stick in my hand and trying different things and, you know, throwing the ball over my back if I saw someone else do that.
Yeah.
From a young age, it was just something that I was really drawn to, and been lucky to make it my number one sport for the last, you know, 15 or so years.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. And just speaking of, you know, the landscape of the game too, on Long Island, obviously, lacrosse is huge, so many talented players and programs. Did other people around you play? Was it like, you know, every kid in the neighborhood is playing, and that's, you know, how you were introduced to the game, or did you kind of just come upon it at your own pace?
Yeah, so like you mentioned, Long Island is a huge hotbed for lacrosse, and it's kind of, you know, everywhere you drive, you see, you know, nets and pitch backs and things all over people's front and back lawns, and it's just kind of like a way of life here. I think it was everywhere. So it was something that definitely intrigued me, and it was something that, you know, some of my friends were starting to pick up. You know, some of the boys in my grade were starting to play, or were playing at young ages. So it was something that I definitely was surrounded by, just because I was from Long Island, and that's what, you know, it was so popular, and it still is to this day.
Right.
It's really something that people pick up, you know, when they're 3 or 4 years old here now, and, you know, they have sticks at all different ages.
Mm-hmm.
Girls are coming to clinics from age 8 or 9 all the way up through high school until they get to college. So it's just like, I'm lucky to be surrounded and embedded in a really lacrosse popular community. I actually literally just posted on Instagram about 10 minutes ago about how lucky I am to be surrounded by, you know, in such a community where lacrosse is like number one.
Yeah.
So many people want to learn about it. And yeah, so I think from a young age, it was something that was very popular from where I'm from. And I was lucky to be able to be surrounded by so much talent that kind of pushed me to be my best.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's awesome when the community, you know, it's something that everyone's into and there's support. There's, you know, this kind of like nothing beats the feeling of having people around you that care and love you and just want you to be your best and do your best. And it's just like, it's so fun. You know, nothing beats that feeling of that support from family and community. So touching a little bit on, you know, your high school experience, obviously you had a great career in high school as well. You know, you're an All-American, you're a captain. I see here, you know, you were all Long Island. You made the all Long Island team your senior year. Those accolades, and you also played for the Yellow Jackets, who, for those that may not know, Long Island Yellow Jackets, everyone who's ever played against the program will say, like, one of, if not arguably the best club program. You know, what was your high school experience like, and how did that kind of shape the way you saw lacrosse in your future? Because I would assume that, you know, if you're having a lot of success in high school, you start to consider your college options and kind of what you want to do as you travel as a club player playing on a storied program. You know, you really start to see, like, oh, you know what, this lacrosse thing, like, I might be doing something here.
And I think, you know, to go to your point there, it was something that, you know, I immediately fell in love with lacrosse when I first took it up, and then I started you know, a year and a half in, is when I tried out for the Yellow Jackets. So I was playing travel in fifth, sixth grade from a young age, and it immediately became my first sport, but it definitely wasn't, you know, it wasn't the only sport that I was playing. But like you said, it quickly became my first sport, and by the time I was in eighth grade or so, I realized, like, wow, I could do something with this, you know? Like, I think my dreams started to shift a little bit and mm-hmm. started to become – hey, I want to see if I can play this at the highest possible level, which right. at that time was Division I college lacrosse, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And we'll touch on that, too, on how the landscape is changing. And, you know, also you mentioned earlier you played volleyball and you also did basketball, which it's so awesome, like three sports in high school and being fantastic at all three. I think, you know, there's this talk, players starting so early and picking up the stick early and then specializing, but a lot of the greats that we talk about, including you, like, y'all played all these different sports and you had the chance to just enjoy your athletic career, even with, you know, somewhat of a strong focus on lacrosse being playing club, but you still got to experience different sports, different seasons, and just enjoy playing sports in high school.
Yeah, and I think that's something that I emphasize a ton to girls that I coach now, or girls that, you know, come up to me and ask questions, or even on social media ask questions. That's one that I get a lot. It's I'm a big advocate for playing multiple sports as long as you can, you know. Mm-hmm. And this was something that, like you said, I did, and a lot of my peers did. And what it did was yes, I was able to specialize in lacrosse, but I wasn't specializing in it year round. You know, I had the fall where I was playing volleyball, and I got to focus on that. And volleyball was something where it taught me patience and resiliency to bounce back, because volleyball is something that's, you know, each time the ball goes up, there's a point is going to be given to one of the teams, and you're mm-hmm. either going to win it or you're going to lose it, you know? So that was something that I learned from a sport of volleyball that I could take onto the lacrosse field as an athlete as a whole, you know? And then in the winter, you know, we would still have our winter leagues for club and for high school for lacrosse. But at the same time, I was playing basketball for high school, and it was just kind of, you know, by the time I got from basketball practice to those indoor lacrosse games, lacrosse was my escape, you know? It was right. my happy place, rather yeah. than it feeling like a chore, or yeah. feeling like I had to go do it. It was, because I was playing those other sports, I, you know, was able to still keep my passion for the game and keep, like you said, that enjoyment in lacrosse. And by the time, you know, lacrosse season came around, it was like, yes, you know, like, heck yes, season is here, and I'm so excited about it. So,
absolutely.
I'm a big advocate for that. You're going to learn so much from, you know, not only playing the sports that you play other than lacrosse physically, you can bring that over to lacrosse, but you're also playing with other teammates mm-hmm. and for other coaches. And
right.
each coach that I've had, even if they didn't teach me something lacrosse specific, they've taught me something.
I love that. Yeah, that point about, you know, you're playing with different people, you're learning different skills, you're hearing different voices, learning different philosophies, like, kind of diversifying your portfolio a little bit, and just you're not doing the same things over and over again. It's not getting old. And yeah, that's a really great perspective of playing different sports. It's just you're learning from different people. And I think that's absolutely something that also gets lost.
And by the time you get to college, you know, and if you're going to end up playing that one sport in college, by the time you get to college, you're not going to have the same coaching staff and the same team around you that you've had, that you've gotten used to. You know, you're going to get a different coach. You're going to get some different teammates and different personalities and things that you're going to need to be able to handle. And with playing those other sports on those other teams for those other coaches, those were things that I hadn't even realized that I had learned through that experience. But by the time I got to college and I had different coaches and different teammates and was faced with different adversities, I was, you know, strong enough to be able to get through them.
Yeah, totally. Totally. So many lessons learned. So kind of moving into your college career. So you attended Stony Brook. You were the American East Rookie of the Year. You played, you know, with coach, or were coached by Coach Spallina and played alongside so many amazing teammates there. What factored into your decision to go to Stony Brook? Notably, it is, you know, close to home, and I'm sure you had offers from other great programs, but what pushed you to be a Seawolf?
Yeah, so this was before the recruiting rule. I committed going into my junior year of high school to Stony Brook. I compared to, like you mentioned before, my Yellow Jackets team was stacked. We had an incredible team. We played so well together, such awesome talent. And, you know, girls on my team were getting looks from the big-name schools, you know, Northwestern, Duke, UNC, Florida, like all these big name Division I programs. And, you know, I was getting the looks from the lower name Division I programs. And at the time, it was a little disheartening until, you know, Stony Brook came around. And at the time, Stony Brook was, again, another one of those technically lower ranked Division I programs. But the way that Joe Spallina approached me and, you know, brought me in with open arms, brought me and my parents into his office and pretty much laid all my dreams out in front of me on the table. It was physically impossible to say no to. And I'm so grateful that I did. I mean, he, you know, sat there and I remember it to this day. I was a 15-year-old girl just trying my best to play Division I college lacrosse. And he sat across from me and my dad and pretty much said, "Hey, Kylie, like, if you come here, we're going to turn this 70th ranked team into a top 10 team on a yearly basis, annual basis. It's going to be a regular thing. You're going to be on the cover of magazines. You're going to be a Twarton finalist. We're going to get you on Team USA. Like, you are going to be the lacrosse player that you've always dreamed of being, and you're going to do it with me because I see that potential in you. And I see that potential in our team and our program if we buy in together." And it was, like I said, impossible to say no to because, you know, just that mentality and that belief from someone who has built such a strong program there and such a strong belief system and culture, it was a no-brainer.
Right.
And then, you know, being able to be there for 4 years, the best memories that I can say are obviously some of the best, biggest wins that we had as a program and some of the leaps that we took in program history. But, you know, I made incredible friends, lifelong friends, and people that I'm lucky enough to call sisters. And I was lucky even more enough to be able to play with my actual sister. So, and at home, like you mentioned, on Long Island, in front of my parents every home game, you know. So it was a special, special thing, and it was something that when I was going through the recruiting process, I didn't necessarily at first think that I wanted. You know, I wanted to go away to school. I wanted to get away and get the whole quote-unquote college experience. But I am so grateful that I decided to stay home, and it was cool because as a program, we bought into Joe Spallina's belief and belief in our potential and just the ability to become Long Island's team. Now we have girls in the stands, packing out the stands every single home game. And instead of them coming to watch the top-ranked program that Stony Brook's playing against, they're there for Stony Brook. They're Stony Brook fans, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a really, really special thing to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you put it perfectly. And something just as a fan, and I think other fans can relate to this as well, was just is seeing Coach Spallina's passion and willingness and just support of his players, and also the belief, right? Like you said, it starts with the coaches. It starts with them saying, you know what, this is my plan and this is what I'm trying to build, and I want you to be part of it, and I want you to come in and, you know, take part in this and help me shape this. And so, you know, it's awesome to know that from the jump in recruiting you, he had this vision and he was able to execute the vision, and he had players who helped him execute that vision. You know, going from not, and I don't know necessarily the number of what Stony Brook was ranked beforehand, but like you said, like just coming in and taking the women's lacrosse world and the lacrosse world in itself by storm, right? And getting those rankings and playing those big name programs, getting those wins, like it was so much fun to watch. You know, one of the things I wanted to ask you about was, you obviously had the stellar success as a freshman playing, but what were some of the growing pains and adjustments that you had to make going from, you know, the high school level to the college level?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's definitely a question I know that a lot of us who played in college get a lot. And I think one of the main things is, on a lacrosse side, two things. One, the game is just so much faster once mm-hmm. you get to the college level. But what I always like to say is that it's still lacrosse. You know, it's right. The same game you girls have been playing your entire lives. The only thing is, it just goes a little bit faster. And, you know, for the first week that you're there and that you're practicing and everything's flying around and it seems like it's going a million miles per hour, the second week, it's going to feel like normal. And the third week, when you go back to one of your high school games or practices, you're going to look around and say, wow, it was this slow at one point, you know, and it was exactly that way for me. So I think lacrosse-wise, just kind of getting used to the pace of it and how much quicker everything was and how much more urgent everything was. And then another question I think we get a lot is, like, how to manage, you know, lacrosse, lifts, conditioning, all the things that go along with being a student athlete, and then also schoolwork, and then also, you know, your social life and your personal life. And those are all things that I like to say a lot. It's something that by the time you get to the college level, another one of those things that you don't even realize that you've been practicing your whole life. You know, we've been practicing time management our whole life without even knowing it.
Right.
Doing school, whether it's club lacrosse or youth lacrosse or other sports, other hobbies, hanging out with friends, making time for family. We've been doing it our whole lives. It's just, again, you're just, you're on your own this time when you get to college. And I think that was one of the scarier parts about it. But what I like to remind people when they're going into college, if they're nervous about those things, is that if you are on a team and you do play lacrosse, you are going in there with 30 or so sisters mm-hmm. right there who are doing the same thing. You know, they're going through it too. They're going through it alone as well. So technically, if you do it together, you know, you're doing it together and you're not so much alone. Lean on each other and you'll be more than fine.
Yeah, totally, totally. That's awesome. And, you know, you make a great point as well about we've been doing this our whole lives, right? Like, in college, there's, you know, a little bit more wiggle room with your schedule, but our whole lives have been running around to practice, from practice, you know, got to get homework done after practice, got to shower, got to eat, got to do all these things. And so it's just a little bit of a shift of priorities, but you've been preparing your whole life. And once you adjust to the pace and just kind of dive in, you know, success is imminent as long as you're putting in the work and doing what you need to do.
Absolutely.
So, as you know, I love social media, very active on social
no
media.
Way.
Who would have guessed? Who would have thunk it? And sis, you were going viral like every week. What did that feel like? Like, I'm so curious to know, what did it do? You, was that like, was there a moment when you first went viral where you were like, oh my gosh, I'm all over Twitter. I'm on like ESPN. What is happening? Like, what is going on?
Yeah. It was pretty wild. And I think, you know, it just kept growing each year too. And
the crazy part about those things, the plays that ended up happening that would end up on SportsCenter and the ones that would end up all over the lacrosse world feed, you know, they would blow up and they would go viral. Those were plays where at Stony Brook, they happen almost every other play in practice, you know?
Right.
And it's just something that ends up happening on game day for us because we practice so much and we are able to, you know, Coach Spallina puts us in an environment where we can be ourselves as players and push the limits and go outside the box with creativity in certain plays. So when those opportunities kind of present themselves on the field, we take them. And we don't think twice about them, you know, and I think it's something that continues to this day for sure with that program. So it's a testament to that. And I think the craziest part about all of it was that it was so unexpected and that it really truly does show you the power of social media and the power of, you know, being able to connect with all these people that you never thought that you would be able to connect with through something that everyone has a common passion for and that, you know, just so happened to be lacrosse. And it was really, really special to be able to do it while we were still at Stony Brook because, you know, our team was getting a lot of that hype. Our team was, like you mentioned before, it took the lacrosse world by storm. So it was cool to see Stony Brook, a name that you hadn't seen growing up watching lacrosse and following lacrosse. It was cool to see that name popping up in there and being the ones in the SportsCenter top 10 and, you know, setting a precedent for women's lacrosse. And now you see it almost every other week. You know, you see women's lacrosse in general on SportsCenter top 10.
Right.
And, you know, that's where we belong, you know.
Yes.
Our game is so fun and so special and so entertaining, you know, and it's something that the more we're on those platforms, the more we're able to go viral with these videos and content and creativity out on the field. Everybody's so talented now. It's hard not to showcase it, and it's hard for people who weren't lacrosse fans prior to look at it and then not be lacrosse fans. You know, it's such an easy game to fall in love with, especially as a viewer. So just really cool to be able to see the power of social media with things like that. And I'm super grateful for it all because I definitely would not have had the platform that I have now and the connections that I have all over the country and all over the world now in the lacrosse world without it. So I think we just got to keep pushing those limits and, you know, keep getting women's lacrosse on SportsCenter for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, you are one of the pioneers of that. I think for me, when I think through kind of the history of women's lacrosse and social media and the surge of availability of information, I think the more information and clips and videos started to become available for people to share so instantly, the better and the bigger the platform got and the more elevated. And like you said, like, it's so easy to fall in love with this game. It's so easy to cheer it on as long as it's right in front of us and we're seeing and we're able to support and cheer on those players. So, I mean, it's been awesome to build my platform and be able to use it as a place to celebrate players that are doing amazing things and just celebrate the game overall. And it, you know, it's sometimes it bums me out that it's like, oh, like it took, you know, social media to come around for us to have a way to share what we love. But you know what? It happened. We did it. And it's so fun. We're able to share really amazing clips instantly. Like when crazy things happen, we're able to talk about it right there. You can post a video, post a clip. And it's just, you know, I thank you. And I think, you know, Kale Trainer and Michelle Tumel, all these different players that have done all these amazing things that we're able to share and able to celebrate. Y'all have given us something to celebrate and something to share. And I don't know, I love being part of it. I love being able to be part of the cheering squad. And yeah, it's been so fun to watch you guys and continue watching.
Well, we really appreciate that on speaking on behalf of all of them, but we also appreciate, you know, all that you do to be able to push us and what we do on the field and what our sport is doing on the field. Your platform and what you say through your platform is so special, and the way that you do it is so authentic. I know that's a thrown around word in the in the social media world right now, but it truly is so authentic, and it's something that girls of all ages, like I mentioned, I was a fan in high school. I was following your tweets since I was in high school, and I was like, wow, I wish, you know, Official Lax Girl would tweet about me one day, and here we are.
Look you know? At you now, yeah, you're on my pod.
So
that's so fun.
It's truly special what you're doing as well, and I hope you know how much we appreciate it, because you're providing a platform where girls and women and fans of the sport of all ages, all genders, everything can follow and relate to.
Thank you.
And it's really cool. So I just want to say thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Every time, y'all are so nice to me. I love it. I just feel the love. I mean, I think back to, I remember when I had 100 followers and I like ran into the kitchen. I was like, Mom, I have 100 followers on Twitter. And she's like, what is that? What are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. I just post about lacrosse and they all follow me. And and I think I mentioned this a couple of times and I refer back to it, but you know, when I started, God knows how long ago, like I just was so stoked to just be playing. And like, I had no stick skills, nothing. All I knew was like, lacrosse, I love it. I have favorite players, and I'm just gonna talk about the game. And it's awesome that I've been able to kind of evolve and find a voice and find a platform. And like, I think I'm still as ridiculous about everything as I was before, but it's just cool to have a different angle and to see it evolve. And I'll always use my platform to champion the game because it's so important. You know, I used to get so hung up about all the negative comments, you know, people would say about the women's game and women's sports and all these things. But now I'm like, you know what? I have all these followers. Like, let me do some positive things. We don't need this negativity. So the platforms are here to stay. And speaking of platforms, you know, so moving into post Stony Brook, you know, you're doing so many amazing things. You have your own company, which we're going to talk about. You're a professional, you know, you're signed with Brian and you're playing the WPLL. So you got like 3,000 million things going on. But yeah, let's dive into that. Like, what's going on now for you?
Yeah, so 3,000 million things. Yes, that is a great way to describe my life right now, but I really wouldn't have it any other way. I've always been someone who likes to fill my day and fill my schedule. I feel like wrong if my calendar isn't booked up, even though
I feel that
everyone around me is like, Kylie, take a day off. But I am so grateful. I mean, I never would have thought, you know, growing up in high school, you know, the ultimate dream was to play lacrosse in college, right? Mm-hmm. And even when I got to college, it was, all right, I got 4 years of this, and then, you know, if I have a shot to try out for the U.S. team, that'd be awesome. But if not, you know, like, that's the end of lacrosse, and maybe I'll coach, you know? And, you know, halfway through college is when the professional league started to come out, and I started to realize that I could potentially have a different path. And if I really, you know, put my all into this sport and into this game and into, you know, the people that we were trying to make fans of women's lacrosse, if I really put my all into that, like, maybe I can do something with this. And I actually shifted my focus in school. So I was a sociology major. I finished out my sociology major, but I brought on a business minor.
Nice.
When I recognized that, because I was like, hey, maybe I can, you know, start my own company. Maybe
Absolutely.
I can turn lacrosse into some sort of business when I graduate here. Maybe I don't have to go just the route of college coaching. Maybe I can do something bigger.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I wasn't necessarily sure exactly how I was going to do it when I was still in college. And to be quite honest, I wasn't quite sure exactly how I was going to do it when I graduated college. And I think, you know, having that platform of the WPLL right out of college, it was the first summer of the WPLL, and I was lucky enough to get drafted to the Fight and be able to play right out of my college days. And it was, I mean, that's the dream come true. Yeah, dream come true, you know, to be able to say, I play my favorite sport professionally. Like, that is something that only a certain percentage of athletes get to say, and I'm super grateful that I get to say it. So first and foremost, I mean, that is, you know, when people ask, hey, what do you do? You know, what is your job? What do you do for a living? I always say I'm a professional lacrosse player first.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you know, I mean, who – there's only a certain percentage of us that get to say that, you know, and I'm only going to be able to say that for so many years of my life. So, you know, I definitely want to take advantage of that now. And I know that a lot of us, you know, we know that there is a bright, bright future for women's lacrosse and professional women's lacrosse. And I think we're still definitely climbing that ladder and fighting the good fight every day. But I think, you know, on that journey, it's just super awesome to be able to say that and take a step back and just appreciate that bird's eye view of it.
Right.
And then on the other hand, I mean, going back to the business side, I started KO17 Lacrosse, which was ultimately an initiative to be able to connect with Long Island's lacrosse community in every way that I could. I have always done a bunch of training with girls around here, and I've always loved it. I've always loved, you know, being able to have someone come to me with their weaknesses and help turn them into their strengths. I've loved that process. So just kind of turning that into something that I can do on a weekly basis here on Long Island, and then, you know, growing it into something that I was never able to do before, which was travel the country and travel the world with it, and get to ultimately see what women's lacrosse is like in California, in Texas, in Minnesota, all these different places that I had never even been before, nonetheless thought about what the lacrosse was like.
Right.
So just to see, you know, the passion that is so nationwide now. It's incredible, first of all. It opens my eyes every time, no matter how many flights I've taken in a week or how tired I am. Every time I see a new set of girls in a new place, it's just, it's eye-opening, and it's really refreshing, and it's just incredible to see that the sport gets to connect all these people in the same way, and that I get to, you know, instead of just holding on to my own experiences as a Division I lacrosse player and all the things that I've learned from my previous coaches and mentors and teammates, I get to, you know, pass that knowledge on to the next generation and to people who are not only here on Long Island, but are in places where lacrosse isn't so much of a hotbed and don't have those same resources that I might have had growing up in mentors and in coaches. So, I'm super grateful to be able to be traveling all over the country doing that. And it keeps me busy for sure, but I honestly would not be doing anything else with my life.
That's amazing. We have to stand. We have to continue to stand. There are no other options but to stand. And, you know, it's twofold, right? So, you know, first you mentioned the business aspect, and I think that is so important. Like, we hold so much power. Whoever's listening to this, players that are in college, coming out of college, we have so much power. Like, you can do literally anything. If you put out an action plan and you're like, this is what I'm going to do, you can do that. And, you know, historically, it had mainly been male players, right? Like, when they were coming out of college, they would set up their companies, and then, you know, they'd travel, and with their buddies, they'd work together, and they, you know, they'd build out these companies to coach and do clinics. And I remember wondering, I'm like, damn, like, I wish more of us did that. Like, I wish more women did that. I wish, you know, these really, really amazing players that I know would do so well, I wish they could come together and do something like this, something that's awesome. And I think you and Taylor have hit the nail on the head. Taylor Cummings, you have hit the nail on the head on starting your own companies and putting yourselves out there and using social media to leverage that business sense and leverage that lacrosse sense. Like, you've been really great at combining the two and putting them together to make something amazing. And it's just like, hats off to y'all. Like, I am so impressed and so proud. Like, it's so cool to see that happen. And I love how resourceful you were. Like, the ability to have the foresight to be like, you know what? I'm really good at lacrosse, and I think I want to do this full time. Let me see what opportunities I have. Let me see what I can learn while I'm still in school, and leverage that and make something really awesome after the fact. That is just like textbook. Like, we could have a whole nother hour long podcast episode just talking about business, because everyone knows I love business, and I have like 300 businesses at a time. But so hats off to you in doing that, because it is not easy at all. And like you said, you know, you had to figure it out. You had to really like put pen to paper and figure it out, but you did it. And you know, everyone check out KO17. Is it KO17lacrosse.com or KO17.com?
It's kf17lacrosse.com.
There we go. It'll be in the description as well. And then the other coin, which I really relate to, side of the coin, is the traveling to see what lacrosse is like in other places, right? Like, when I picked up a stick in Silver Spring, Maryland, you know, I was just chilling. Like, this is lacrosse, my community. These are the people I know. And then we started those games. I would get to go to other cities or, you know, other high schools and see what lacrosse was like for them. And then with U.S. Lacrosse and traveling and other initiatives that I've been part of, just seeing how lacrosse is in other places, it is amazing. Like, the game is not it's the same in some sense, but it's not exactly the same in every place you go, and there's so much to learn and so much joy. Like, I love it. I mean, you mentioned California. You know, the handful of times I've been to Cali to do different lacrosse things, I've done box, I've done clinics, I've just hung out with friends and played. It's just like, there's so much knowledge and just community that's out there, and we get to enjoy that by getting to travel and play, and it's like, it's just the wildest thing. I think it's just the greatest opportunity ever, and it blows my mind every single time.
Absolutely. I'm the same way. I mean, sometimes I know last summer was my first full summer of doing, you know, back-to-back-to-back clinics in different states, and, you know, for 3 months straight and traveling back and forth, and it was a roller coaster, but I know that there were so many moments where I was kind of just sitting there, like you said, and I was like, wow, am I really going to X for lacrosse right now? You know, like, am I really getting to travel, like when we went to Japan with the WPL, am I really getting to travel to the other side of the world for lacrosse?
Right.
You know, like, that is so sick.
Yeah.
And it is so cool to see that, you know, the opportunities are endless when it comes to that, and they're only going to skyrocket from here. And it's very, very awesome to see, like you mentioned previously too, it used to be just a lot of men's players doing it. And now a lot more women players are starting to do it and starting to put themselves out there and just, you know, share their experiences and share their knowledge and create more little rock stars running around that want to, you know, put on eye black and,
right.
You know, do dodges the same way Marie McCool does and take the draw the same way Taylor Cummings does. And,
yep.
It's just incredible. And it's really, really amazing to be a part of.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And so jealous you got to go to Japan, because that is on my list. It is on my list. I'm going to make it over there. My cousin was just there. And I'm like, please tell me all the things you ate. Like, tell me all the things that you did and all the things you saw.
I could not eat sushi back here in America for like 3 months when I got back.
Yeah.
The sushi is just so good over there.
I'm like, oh, it's not the same. It's not the same. All. Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. And, you know, kudos to you and kudos to all of us who are able to have lacrosse as part of our lives. And whether it's in our local community, global community, however we're involved in the game and the way we give back, like, it's just so gratifying. So amazing. And, you know, in thinking of traveling, what's it been like to meet fans and meet people that are fans of you? Because, you know, not that I have a lot of fans, I got a couple fans, you know, but when I meet people that follow me and enjoy what I have to say, it's so, like, it's so cool and it's so strange and it's so humbling and gratifying. You know, and I'm so curious for you what that's been like at an even larger scale, and you know, this including the social media and the TV and people coming up to you, like, what's that experience been like for you?
Yeah, like you mentioned, I mean, it's super humbling every time. I can't wrap my head around, you know, people who, you know, famous people who get sick of people coming up to them and knowing who they are at random spots. Like, I could not imagine that. I mean, every single time it happens to me, I'm like, wow, you know, like, that is crazy that this random girl recognized me in a random restaurant. Somewhere nowhere near my hometown, like, there's no connection to it. They just kind of recognized me. And that happens far more often than normal, you know, and it's something that I'm still getting used to and something that I know also isn't going to last forever. So definitely soaking it in. You know, there can be one day where nobody wants my autograph anymore. So every single autograph I sign with care. And I know that, you know, just as special as, you know, I'm making these girls feel when they come up to me, like, they are making me feel 10 times more special. I just hope they know that. And everyone who, you know, reaches out and DMs me on Instagram and, you know, comments on my Instagram pictures or things along those lines, like, it doesn't go unnoticed. And it, you know, it truly is humbling to know that, you know, people value my opinion. They want to see what I'm doing in the lacrosse world. They support what I'm doing in the lacrosse world. They support what I'm doing off the field. And it's just, it's really crazy to know that I can be both a role model and, you know, just good old Kylie as well. So it's just a really amazing thing. And it's all thanks to, you know, everything that happened in my career at Stony Brook and everything that happened prior to that. And, you know, the platforms that I'm able to, you know, be boosted on as well. You know, the WPLL and Brian and New Balance and all these different things that support me as an athlete. It's really special to be able to be myself through those platforms as well. Because, and I think that's something that's so special too about our community, about the lacrosse community, is that compared to other professional sports, we, you know, what other professional sports league are kids able to, you know, get a training session with some of the best players in the sport and then be able to walk up to them, shake their hand, say hi, high five, get a picture, you know, people aren't necessarily doing that with Tom Brady every day, you know, but they get to do that in the lacrosse world. So it's something that's so special for these kids and so special for people who are aspiring to be professional lacrosse players one day. They can, you know, they can physically be in our realm and be able to look up to us and be able to say, like, hey, I can be that one day because she's physically right there and she's talking to me, telling me that I can do it, you know?
Yeah, of course.
So that's a really, really special thing.
Yeah, for sure. And I totally agree. I think the accessibility within lacrosse is amazing, and the way, you know, lacrosse athletes are able to just make themselves available to people. There's, you know I'm a Ralphinho fan. Everyone knows that. But I tweeted something funny about, oh, like, you know, I'm president of his fan club and I don't know if he's in the ML or the PLL. Like, you know, Rob just DM'd me. I won't tell anyone, whatever. And he responded. And it was like, you know, little me, young me, like, obviously freak out. And me now obviously also freaked out. But it's just so funny that, like, those are the moments we get to have, right? Like, your favorite player can respond to you and you can be like, this is so crazy. And, yeah, and that accessibility is really, really cool. So definitely agree on that front, that it's cool that we're able to interact with people. And eventually, like, I feel like someone has told me this. They're like, okay, Tara, you need to stop thinking of yourself as a fan of, like, as a fan of people that you talk to. It's so hard, though. It's so difficult. But I'm working
it's
on it.
It's true. Like, it's something that I still do as well.
Right. Yeah, because, yeah, and I'm sure, like, being on, you know, playing with Team USA, you're probably like, oh, my gosh. These are people I look up to. What's happening? This is wild. And it's like, well, no, you're one of them.
And I think it's been on social media before, but I was in 8th or 9th grade, and I was fangirling Katrina Dowd so hard that I found her at the Northwestern tailgate at the Final Four at Stony Brook in, like, 2011 or 2012. And we have a picture together, and I'm, like, a little fan, and she's in her old Northwestern uniform as an alumni watching the game at the tailgate. And it is so funny now because we're teammates on both the Fight and the U.S. team. But, you know, it's just – I still have those – fangirl moments, and I still have those, like, wow, when I was 15 I used to think you walked on water, you know? I still do. And now I get to pass you the ball and, like, celebrate with you, you know?
Yeah, amazing. And then it's so full circle. I mean, and you mentioned before, like, all the steps in your journey led to that and led to all the success that you're getting to have, or that you've worked to achieve, I should say. And yeah, it's just absolutely amazing. And so thinking, you know, with your professional career with Team USA and obviously, you know, traveling or teaching the game, like, what do you see the future of women's lacrosse as? There's all these talk about new rules and helmets and crazy stuff, and they're like, everyone should be able to push each other, and people are like, yeah, and some people are like, no. So what's your take on the future of the game?
I think women's lacrosse is such a special game. And I think what's special about it is, you know, there are a ton of other sports such as basketball and soccer where the men's and women's side of it are similar. You know, it's exact. And I think what's special about lacrosse is that men's and women's are two totally different games but have similar aspects to them and similar crossovers where, you know, I'm someone who took a lot of what I learned from men's lacrosse players and men's coaches and the men's game, but I am able to kind of pull that over into the women's game. And I think, you know, vice versa, you know, a lot of men can say that they've learned a lot of their finesse and certain patience and different things from the women's side of the game.
Right.
That there's just so much crossover. And I think, you know, I think some of the things that we're starting to implement into the game, such as free movement and the shot clock, you know, those were huge for us. And I think those are things that if we ultimately want to be a sport that most people in the world are fans of as viewers, those are the things that are going to push us towards that.
Right.
You know, faster pace and not so many whistles and things along those lines. I think we're taking the correct steps in those ways. And I think we're, you know, we're gaining non-lacrosse fans through those things. And I think it's really cool to see. When it comes to, like you mentioned, you know, we should be able to push harder and we should be able to, you know, wear helmets and pads and things along those lines. I don't think that's necessary. You know, I think women's lacrosse is, it's beautiful just the way it is, you know. We are able to be physical and fast and we're able to showcase our strength and the fact that we can take a hit and we can continue to play on and we can, you know, control ourselves in a sense of we don't need to take the stick and whack it at someone's head because they have a helmet on, you know, just because we think they're subconsciously going to be safe. We can play with goggles and a mouthpiece and no pads and we can get bruises up and down our arms and be strong and powerful about it. But, you know, I don't think there's a reason to change the beauty of the women's game and the finesse of it and the speed and the fast pace and excitedness about it.
Yeah.
It's entertaining and it's entertaining in its own way. And I think that's ultimately the beauty of it. You know, it's such a special game. And I think that if we're taking steps in the right direction, then that's a good thing. When it comes to some of those controversial topics, it's, I think one of the biggest things is that controversy sparks conversation. So whether we're talking negatively about it or we're talking positively about it, there's most likely going to be two sides to the debate, which means that there's two more voices talking about lacrosse in general.
Yeah.
So it's ultimately in the long run a good thing. You know, you're getting people to talk about the sport. You're getting people to think about the future of the sport. You're getting people to debate on a sport that's not football, not basketball, not baseball. You know, you're getting people to talk about lacrosse. So
yeah, absolutely.
I think in any good sport, there's going to be controversy, and I think it's ultimately healthy for the lacrosse world and for lacrosse fans in general.
True. See, I learn something new every time on this pod because I used to be the brute force, reply angrily with funny gif and tell these people that I don't know what they're talking about. But you're right. That's two more people talking about lacrosse with controversy. That's an opportunity to teach someone about the game.
It definitely does not mean that you don't have to hold back on those funny gifts because I do enjoy those as well.
Thank you. I love them.
But it does mean you know, there are two sides to every conversation, and your side matters just as much as the other person's sides matter. You know?
Yeah,
and
sometimes their sides don't really matter that much, though.
You know, and I love it, and that is. You know, that right there is what makes you so authentic and your platform so relatable.
I try.
It's so cool. And I just love everything about it.
I try. Oh, I love Twitter. I love Instagram. I love all the things. It's just, yeah, it's the best. It's the best. But, well, yeah, and I like to end each episode by kind of asking, you know, what's a piece of advice that you'd give to a young player listening to this or just someone who wants to make an impact and a difference in the game, whether they're a player, parent, coach, ref, fan, like what's your message?
Yeah, I think something that I always say to young girls that are, you know, starting to get into lacrosse or have big dreams for themselves is, you know, you have those dreams. You definitely have those dreams and have a vision for what you see for the sport of lacrosse and for yourself and your role in lacrosse. and, you know, make sure you're working hard to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Put in the work every day and make sure that, you know, take the extra steps to, whether it's you want to be a great lacrosse player and you want to be able to be recruited one day, then, you know, get on the wall and practice that shooting and, you know, get that stick in your hand as much as you can. Or if it's on the other side of things and you're a coach or a parent and you're impacting young players, you know, do all that you can to make sure that, you know, those players underneath you are inspired and are doing all that they can to make their dreams reality. I think just kind of pushing each other towards greatness and keeping each other in the sport and happy to be playing lacrosse. I think that's another part about it, is that everyone who plays is ultimately happy to be playing, you know, and just keeping that passion in the sport and excitement around it and getting people around them who might not know what lacrosse is to pick up their stick and try it one time. You never know who might be a fan out there.
Absolutely, and you never know who might be one of the next great rock stars of the sport. Kylie, thank you so much for joining me. This was awesome, and I'm so excited to share this episode with everyone because I know they're going to enjoy all the conversations we've had. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to cheer you on. And anyone from Stony Brook listening to this, y'all electrified the sport and just gave it this surge. And it's like, we've just, like you mentioned, you know, we're building, like, the potential for women's lacrosse has always been endless, will continue to be endless. It's been awesome. It's going to continue to be awesome. And we have all these new platforms to make it even more awesome. And I'm excited to continue watching our sport grow and continue cheering you on.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And thank you everyone for listening. It was, this was a really special podcast to be a part of.
IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.